This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Welcome to Out Loud, KBOO's queer culture radio show. My name is Carla, and tonight we're going to be welcoming Kelly Caldwell, who is a local social justice activist extraordinaire, and we'll be hearing about the different projects that Kelly's been working on here in Portland, as well as some national and international actions that she's been involved with. We want to say a happy new year to all of our listeners, and one of our themes today, or tonight, is going to be how we can make a difference. Looking at this new year and how we want things to be different, KBOO always encourages everyone to do what you can, get involved, engage, and make a difference in whatever way is appropriate for you. Now, before we move on to our first song for the evening, I want to let you know how to contact us online. If you email, you can email us at outloudradio@gmail.com. We love hearing from our listeners, and we welcome your feedback, any ideas that you have for future radio shows. We also enjoy jokes or whatever else you'd like to share with us. We also have a presence on Facebook. If you connect on Facebook, you can find Out Loud Radio on Facebook. We also are part of the Twitter universe. You can find us there at KBOO Out Loud on Twitter as well. Now, we're going to take a short music break, and we'll be back in just a few moments to speak with Kelly Caldwell and hear more about her work here in Portland as well as internationally. But first, let's take a music break. We're going to hear a song from Toshi Reagan titled "Have You Heard?"
Have you heard the dreams of the dove? I am sure it's a sign of the Lord. Did you dance to that thunderous shout? Did you dance to that thunderous shout? Did you dance to that thunderous shout? I am sure it's a sign of the Lord. Thank you.
Welcome back to Out Loud, KABU's Queer Culture Radio Show. My name is Carla. That song was titled Have You Heard from Toshi Reagan, and that is the title song from the CD titled Have You Heard. Tonight we're focusing on ways to get involved, plug into your community, make a difference as a way to say Happy New Year. Again, hopefully everyone is celebrating in whatever way is appropriate for you, and welcome to the other side, to 2013. I also want to say welcome to the studio. We have Kelly Caldwell here with us. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
And maybe a welcome back. If folks don't know, Kelly did a radio show way back when, so you're part of KABU's past.
I spent about a year bottom lining Hole in the Bucket, which it was a show about poverty, housing, and homelessness, and those issues are still very close to my heart. I'd love to tell you what's happening with those as we get through our conversation today.
Yeah, maybe let's start talking about, you know, solidarity with what's going on with food and food scarcity and some of the actions that you've been doing here in the community.
Well, you know, people are talking a lot about the economic pinch and the challenges and, like, for example, the fiscal cliff. I think it's actually a big ruse, and that the real issue is the fiscal garden. And what we should really be concerned about is food security. One of the huge issues going on is the food appropriations bill, the farm appropriations bill. It's just craziness is in there. And in particular, there's a rider in the House that's basically totally a protection bill for Monsanto. Mm-hmm. So we need to be actually doing the exact opposite and basically ending or challenging Monsanto at every term, not protecting them. So to me, that's an issue that's actually more important than this fiscal cliff business.
Well, and let me just take a moment. I mean, I totally agree with you, and I want to hear more about what's going on here locally. But for folks that don't know the backstory, Monsanto is a corporation based here in the United States.
It's an evil chemical company that has started to patent the very nature of life, trying to patent genes, patent food, patent seeds, and provide altered
food
products mm-hmm. via genetic engineering. So that's a big no. It's of a huge issue all over the world. In Oregon, it's an issue in two specific ways. One is canola, mm-hmm. growing canola in the Willamette Valley, huge issue. And the other down in southern Oregon is genetically engineered sugar beets mm-hmm. and the risk that those pose. But in a global sense, canola, soy, corn, cotton are some of the most commonly genetically engineered foods. So I was part of the labeling campaign mm-hmm. that GMO Free Oregon did. That's GMOfreeOregon.org. I know that there's a meetup type thing where we're having a meeting in January sometime. I'm not really sure if that's been figured out, but you can sign on and tell them what time you're available. Uh-huh. So we're gearing up to really continue to make sure that we have healthy food and that we know that corporations exist to make money and not to feed us healthy food, and that we really have to grow our own mm-hmm. and that here in Oregon we're perfectly positioned to do so, and we need to get right on it.
Right. And this is such an important thing. Again, just acknowledging Out Loud is a queer culture radio show, but food is something that every human on the planet needs. And I definitely agree with you. And the shadiness of what's going on with the government and this protection around this corporation is so suspicious, because if they want, you know, protection for their product, then why don't they label it and tell us where it is? Let's talk about how it affects bodies, animal bodies, human bodies, all that kind of stuff. And there's so much secrecy around what's going on. That's part of the huge, huge problem. And that the vast majority of Americans have said no, they don't want GMO, you know, genetically modified organisms in their food. And just to make sure listeners know, there have actually been many countries that have banned GMO seeds, GMO products, completely banned them from the country. And the fact that in the United States, the products,
we can't get them labeled.
We can't even get them labeled. Something's going on. And right here in Oregon, I know something that is close to a lot of hearts is salmon and what's going on with fish, not just fish in the ocean, but farmed fish. And part of what's going on with the FDA right now is around genetically modified salmon being introduced to the food that we eat and then also released out into the wild.
And you know what? That genetically engineered salmon is, they crossbreed two types of fishes that would never breed in nature. These little fishes would never get it on with each other.
Right.
But they breed them in the lab, and they said that within, I don't remember if it was 7 or 17 generations, the native salmon would be completely wiped out.
And this is a global issue. Like, just to acknowledge the farmed fish, you know, often escape their pens and do go out into the wild. But what's going on right now with the Food and Drug Administration is giving the okay for Monsanto to release these genetically modified salmon out into the wild.
With very little testing.
Exactly. And that's going to have an impact on humans on a global scale. It's kind of
frightening. And that makes us the guinea pig. It makes us the experiment.
And it makes the United States the one saying it's okay when so many other countries have said, oh, no, we don't want this. So tell the website again for folks that want more information or want to get involved.
I invite people to check out GMOfreeOregon.org. Mm-hmm. There's also a GMOfreePortland, a GMOfreeEugene, and another group that's been very active locally. I'm not as plugged in as I'd like to be, but Northwest Rage is a group that has done a lot around food security and sovereignty issues.
Okay. And so, I mean, genetically modified food is just one thing that's going on with local food issues. Tell us some of the other projects that you've been working on.
Well, I was actually one of the contributors to the 1,000 New Community Gardens that Nick Fish succeeded in doing, and collaborated a little bit on that, and continue to work on promoting more greenhouses, more gardening, more urban food production.
And for folks that don't know, Nick Fish is?
City Commissioner of Portland, who's in charge of the Parks and Recs Department.
Okay. And did he get reelected? Is he still serving?
I'm not sure if he was up for office this time. He's there, and he's going to be there for a little while.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thanks to the City Commissioner Fish for
promoting gardens and really connecting the dots. There's tons of local gardening resources. There's the OHSU Extension Service Master Gardeners Program. There's just many options outside of the existing, you know, for example, Portland Community Gardens has lists. But if you can't get a garden plot on that list, do not despair. Keep looking. They're out there. There's Food Not Longs programs and other programs where people can kind of Craigslist that they're looking for someone to come garden their yard, and someone else who lives nearby can come grow food and then share the produce between all of them. So we really need to kick it up.
Right.
I think about Victory Gardens as a solution to many of our problems, like mm-hmm. we had in the 40s. We could be growing 40, 45%, 50% of the food that we consume locally.
Absolutely. And a shout out for folks living in North or Northeast Portland. There's the Urban Farm Collective as well, that they're digging up a lot of grass and growing a lot of food and have a trading market that happens during the growing season. So the Urban Farm Collective is another group. They're mostly serving North and Northeast, but they are looking to expand other parts of town. So you can find them online. I'm forgetting their exact website, but again, you find them on your favorite search engine.
There's also a great Facebook group that I'm a part of. It's called the Portland Vancouver Urban Gardening something mm-hmm. and Food People. I don't know if you exactly, but if you're on Facebook and you look up Portland Vancouver Urban Farms, Urban Gardens, it's a great group.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the food access, food security, food stability is an important issue for all of us. And right here in Portland and all of the Pacific Northwest has a great opportunity to grow your own. I do want to give a shout out. The Portland, the Fruit Tree Project is helping me personally. I have some fruit trees that need some help, and they're going to show up and help me trim and make sure next summer I've got a bountiful harvest that I can share with my neighbors, as well as through the city. If you have land and you're interested in a tree out at the curb, there's now, again, not an
with
edible.
Friends of Trees.
Friends of Trees. Different neighborhoods are actually, a lot of the scheduling has happened already for this spring, but just so you know, out there, landowners, or again, a lot of renters, if you want a tree out at your curb, a lot of that can happen for free.
And growing food, whether it be a fruit tree or some kale, it's really a lot easier than you think. So we want to get the sort of virgin gardener involved.
Uh-huh.
And one of the projects I was involved in the last year was some guerrilla gardening projects where we just went willy-nilly and started gardening everywhere. And sometimes places where we didn't have permission, and that was exciting.
It was, and I know of little seed bombs. Some folks make little dirt wads that are loaded with sunflower, different type of flower seeds that have become popular in certain biking communities here in town. As you ride your bike around town and you find a empty, desolate lot, you can chuck some seeds over there and see what happens.
And don't stop with that. I put some irises and tiger lilies that were extra from my yard into the garden around the Cascadia Behavioral Health Center on Division and 44th.
Right on.
And now when I drive by there and I see the flowers, it just makes me feel really happy.
Right on. You rogue gardener, you.
Yes. There's also a fruit tree outside the plaid pantry at 50th and Division that was planted by me and a couple of friends in the cover of darkness. So get out there and garden.
Right.
It's a 24/7 activity.
Yeah. And there are, for those of you that are starting out, you know, new to starting gardening or you're not sure where to start, there are seed swaps that happen.
Make sure your seeds are organic and make sure they're not genetically modified. That's really important.
Absolutely. Yeah. Make sure you know where your seeds are coming from, not just your friend or neighbor, but really the source of the plant. Thank you for bringing that up. And I myself don't have a lot of tools that I own, but I am a member of the Northeast Tool Library.
There's also a Southeast Tool Library.
Yeah, love those people. And oh yeah, they take donations too, just saying. They're all volunteer run.
And they need volunteers to lend out shovels and picks and all kinds of gadgetry. It's quite amazing.
It is. So there's lots of different ways to get involved, to grow your own food, help your neighbors grow their food. Basically, ways to plug in and make a difference right here in the community. Now, listeners, stay tuned. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in just a few moments. We're going to hear more from Kelly and her work with an international group called Idle No More.
Idle No More and 1 Billion Rising.
Okay, we need to hear more about what's going on with these two groups. And, of course, Kelly will be back in just a few moments. We're going to take a music break and hear from Joan Jett, one of the musicians that changed my life as a teenager. Love her. The song is titled Change the World.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Out Loud, KBOO's queer culture radio show. My name is Carla. That song was titled Change the World from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. And tonight we're talking about ways to get involved, plug into your local community, and make a difference. Again, change the world in whatever way is appropriate for you. This is my wish as a Happy New Year blessing. Be the change you wish to see. And it's really not difficult to make an impact in somebody's life right now. And it could be your life. And so we're talking tonight with Kelly Caldwell, who is a social activist extraordinaire involved in many, many different projects. Earlier in the show, we were talking about food, solidarity, ways to resources to grow your own or make a difference with your neighbors. We're going to move into perhaps, Kelly, let's talk about the Idle No More movement and let folks know again, where did Idle No More start and what's going on?
Idle No More is a movement initiated by Native peoples who just have had enough with the exploitation of the earth and all of the people on it, and the misery that has been the result of colonization and imperialism. And Native people in many, many locations, specifically up in Canada, there's some really major things going on right now. There's a chief up there who's on a hunger strike and a real variety of things. If you Twitter or Google Idle No More, you can find lots of things. Even yesterday at Lloyd Center, there was a circle of Native folks and supporters drumming and calling in solidarity with the work of Native people around the world to say, yeah, basta, enough, and stop the exploitation of people on the planet by a very, very small group of people. In fact, today there was a solidarity action at the Mexican consulate in Portland in celebration and in solidarity with the Zapatista movement. And what's happening today is a big anniversary for the Zapatistas. So, you know.
Okay.
Si se puede. We are out there.
Right on. And it sounds like this is growing. That, again, Idle No More starting Native populations globally and then engaging with supporters and allies. And then here in Portland, again, the action yesterday at Lloyd Center Mall, and then today down at the Mexican consulate. Where can people, again, you mentioned searching online. Are there more actions coming up? I guess, how can people plug in?
There are more actions coming up. And I want to be really clear that as a white woman, a white queer woman, I'm in solidarity with folks. And I want to make sure that they're calling the shots and that I'm here to say this is, you know, help magnify the word, help get the, you know, story out, help bring attention to the cause and the leadership of people of color, queer people, marginalized voices historically. And really, I think solidarity work is one of the most important pieces of activism that we can do.
Absolutely. And thank you for saying that. I guess I also identify as a white queer woman, and I feel a heart connection to a lot of the struggles that are going on, and realizing being Anglo, that my place of privilege, I feel the need to reach out and help in whatever way I can. And certainly being witness to what's going on and saying, I don't support this, you know, the globalization. And I mean, what we were talking about with Monsanto and the fact that our government might be passing laws to protect a corporation that is having such a huge impact on our food, our water. You know, it's unbelievable. So
the corporations have basically taken over the way of life of people who are living more sustainably and in alignment with the earth. And it's gotten to a critical point, and we just cannot take it anymore. So yeah, basta basically means enough in Spanish. That's a very important group. There's so many groups, especially if you're a white person out there, I invite you to educate yourself, look around, ask for support, ask questions, and there are definitely activities going on. We are really gearing up for some big things. And one of the things that's coming up on February 14th is a global strike to end violence. It's mm-hmm. organized by women around the world. I've been in communication with men and women in Pakistan, in India, in Russia, all over the world. 1billionrising.org is something you can go check out and see what's happening. In Portland, we have an interesting model. We're doing decentralized organizing circles. So we're asking people to circle up, come up with plans by January 16th. We're going to be having a kind of collective coordinating meeting on January 16th in the evening. That's a Wednesday at Tabor Space. And we invite people to say, this is what we're doing then, and we'll make a collective calendar and really get it out for several weeks before the February 14th day of action. And it's sort of like a global strike and dance party. So it should be a really good time.
Mm-hmm. And just to make sure folks got that date, again, February 14th is the global day of action that's being called 1 Billion Rising. And here in Portland, different groups, different circles are meeting to decide what is appropriate for them and their social circle.
I can tell you more about that. Absolutely. I know there's a men's organizing circle mm-hmm. that's going to be on Saturday, January 5th at 2 o'clock at Beulah Land. That's at 28th and Burnside, specifically pulling men together in solidarity, although this is largely women organized. We cannot end violence without men.
Right.
So we're inviting them to the table and to step up and be in support, as we know there are many amazing men of all orientations. I especially hope that the local Radical Fairies will come on Saturday and get involved. We love you. Please come be a part of it. And so there's that. St. John's is having an organizing meeting. I think that might be on Wednesday night. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I know that Occupy St. John's has the details on when exactly they're meeting. I think it's at Anna Bananas.
Okay.
There's a meeting at the State of Oregon building on January 14th from 4 to 6. That's for, you know, there's lots of amazing nurses and social workers and health educators that work at the State Building or in the Lloyd Center area, and mm-hmm. they're invited to come for a after work meeting on the 14th of January. Once again, by the 16th or the 20th at the latest, we want to finalize what we're doing in February so that we can just let everyone know that we are rising up and we call for the end of violence.
Right. And that, again, the day of action will be, I love
V-Day.
That you've chosen Valentine's Day. Yeah. To do some actions around ending violence against women.
And I'm just stepping up and organizing in solidarity. I'm not the person anywhere near the people who came up with this. I'm in solidarity with women in India, women in Pakistan, women in Afghanistan, Native women, Latinas, women all over the world that are experiencing violence. And of course, men are experiencing violence too. So let's just do this. Queer people, I mean, the violence that LGBTQ people face all over the world, we have to stand up and say enough.
Exactly. Now, again, this action the organizing is called 1 Billion Rising, and your favorite search engine will plug you into different groups that are organizing. But again, Kelly has shared some dates and some details that are happening here in Portland. Again, wanting to have different circles or different groups locally have your details or the plans that you would like to do kind of finalized by the middle of January, and give the meeting dates again around January 16th?
Yeah, the coordinating circle is called a coordinating meeting at Tabor Space, which is at 55th and Southeast Belmont. I believe it's at 6:30 on Wednesday, January 16th. And yeah, we're expecting some dance parties in the street and perhaps in some covered areas, mm-hmm. as well as some workshops and speakers and information and who knows what. We just don't know what people might want to do, and we want to hold space to bring it all together and get the word out about it all.
Right on. Well, and I'd like to just offer an invitation to have you and maybe some other folks from those different organizing groups come back to Out Loud and keep our listeners posted as we get closer to January 14th and this International Day of Action,
which is on February 14th.
Exactly. Now, for folks that missed all those dates, we will be uploading this radio show to the KBOO website very shortly after the show this evening. But you can also go to your favorite search engine and search 1 Billion Rising to find out more information. Now, Kelly, I have to apologize, but we got to start wrapping things up. We're running out of time. But before we say our goodbyes, are there any closing thoughts that you want to leave with our listeners?
Well, I just want to say that today being a big day with the Zapatistas, they are the current population of the Mayans. And I would like to just say personally that I believe that what they were saying was not that an apocalypse, but almost an apocalyptimist, where things have been pretty bad, but we've turned the page, and now let's do the right thing, step up, now's the time. Happy 2013.
Right on. Thank you. Thank you so much for your work. So we're saying goodbye to Kelly Caldwell, and all the other activists out in the community, I want to say a huge thank you for your work. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in this evening. We're going to wrap up Out Loud and transition into This Way Out, which is the international gay and lesbian news magazine. But before we go into This Way Out, I want to share one community announcement with you. Another important anniversary is happening next week. Friday, January 11th, is the 6th year anniversary of Dirty Queer, which is the X-rated open mic for the queer community. Again, that's happening Friday, January 11th at In Other Words. You can find out more information at dirtyqueer.com. And so, again, thank you to Kelly for being our guest on the show this evening. Thank you to all of the activists who are working to make change in their community, in their countries, and on a global level. Thank you to our listeners. This show is for you. And Happy New Year. We will be back next week. Until next time, stay proud and live out loud.
And cut. Print. Oh, good. All right, that's a keeper.
Happy New Year, and welcome to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Our news wrap crew returns from their holiday break next week. On this traditional year-ending show, our award-winning entertainment reporter Steve Pride remembers the LGBT moving images that moved him most during the past 12 months in Pride on Screen 2012.
Hello, I'm Steve Pride, and welcome to a special Pride on Screen edition of This Way Out. Sit back, relax, and butter your popcorn while we examine the best LGBT images on screens both big and small. For the year 2012, on the platform once known as the small screen television, secondary gay characters popped up on everything from Downton Abbey to Modern Family.
I am so sorry we have to meet like this, but I'm sure you can understand as parents the instinct to protect your child.
Yeah, it's what makes me want to punch you in the neck right now.
Wow, I see where your son gets all of his aggression.
Okay, let's all take a timeout.
That's a good idea. This is getting a little heated, right?
Yeah, Pam, we don't want another incident like at the lumberyard.
Oh my God, you guys go to the lumberyard too? I didn't know they had a ladies' night.
Not the bar, Sally.
Okay, you know what? He's trying to be nice, and you just called him Sally.
Yeah, you're not being very helpful, Peppermint Patty.
Okay, let's just stick to our actual names.
Enough. I'm going to give you a little homework assignment. I want you and your kids to have a family playdate. Maybe if the four of you can get along, you can set a better example for your children.
I think that's a wonderful idea, Pam. Fine.
Cam?
Fine. We'll host, obviously.
Obviously.
Well, I assume you have an unfinished woodworking project at your house.
You've got a lot of nerve.
And you've got half a canoe in our living room.
But as TV sets flattened and supersized, it was on the new small screen, tablets, and smartphones that the best LGBT content reached us this year. Great shows like Old Dogs and New Tricks, Husbands, Venice, Hunting Season, Jack in the Box, and Gay's Anatomy.
I don't use gendered pronouns. I run a nonprofit that distributes strap-ons and other empowering sex toys to rural preteen lesbians. And I wear a diaphragm 24/7 as a lived critique of anti-feminist capitalism.
But for me, the best of the best was a 6-part web series called The Outs.
I'm not drinking any more of this because I am going on a date tonight.
Oh, is that why you're home from work early?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me you didn't,
take a half day from work so I could come home, clean everything, try on every cardigan I own, and then clean everything again because now there are cardigans everywhere. Yes, that is exactly what I did, Una, okay?
I'm not judging. Last week I slept with a guy from Trader Joe's because I liked the way he handled my produce.
Yikes. Ian?
No, not Ian. I know Ian's name. This guy's in my phone is Trader Joe.
Wow. Stay classy.
Is this the guy you met on the dating site?
Yes, it is. And we have a personality vector match score that's like basically through the roof, according to the website. So that is something.
Yeah. A good PVM. That's huge.
I think you're required by law to be a little bit more supportive of me, okay?
Is that part of Obamacare?
I need a new best friend, don't I?
Oh, tell me I'm not your best friend.
New York-based writer, director, and star of The Outs, Adam Goldman.
The Outs is a web show about big relationships that people have and the way that they can sort of decay or explode and how that can change people. Specifically, it's about a breakup between these two guys, Mitchell and Jack, who live in Brooklyn, and how they both are dealing or not dealing with the fallout from the way that relationship ends.
Production values on The Outs was better than a lot of TV shows, so why a web series?
The truth of the matter is there's no way for me to write something in my boxers at home in Brooklyn and produce it with my friends, even looking as good as it does, and have it wind up on TV, even on Logo or something like that. There's no way to do that. So we wanted to tell a story and we wanted to do it well. And so the best way to reach people and really the maximum number of possible people was to put it online.
Catch The Outs anytime, anywhere, streaming at theouts.tv. So what's the big picture on the big screen? The best examples of LGBT film that was at a theater near you in 2012. Well, everyone's list is different, but for me, it begins with number
10.
Wish Me Away.
Hey guys, watch this camera. 8, 7.
I talked to him.
6,
said it was okay, right?
5, 4, 3.
Singer Shelley Wright had her first hit on the country music charts back in 1997 with the single Shut Up and Drive. Well, now after a successful career, Shelley is opening up about the more personal side of her life with a revelation that may shock the country music world. It's all in a new autobiography, Like Me, Confessions of a Heartland Country Singer. Shelley, good morning.
Thank you, Nina.
Phew. Does that feel good?
It feels incredible.
Do you feel just a whole weight lifted off your shoulders now?
I do. I feel as if it's my birthday.
You can finally be who you've wanted to be since you were a little girl.
Yeah.
Singer Shelley Wright.
Hey, Steve. You know, the film Wish Me Away came out in the most organic way. I had been writing my memoir in Nashville, and I started it in 2007, and I was about 100 pages in and really, quite frankly, hit the wall. I couldn't write anymore. So I got my video camera out and I put it on my mantle and, you know, maybe it was for posterity's sake or I don't know, but I started talking about how it felt. I was crying my eyes out and was talking about how it felt to write the book, to be writing, and to be really imagining freedom was on its way. But at those moments, those very dark early moments, I sure didn't feel as excited about freedom as I do now. I felt scared. I felt scared that I had made myself this promise I was going to come out. So I continued to do the video diaries, and about 9 months later, I met a couple of filmmakers, and the question was asked, have you been filming your process leading up to your coming out? And I said, well, I have done video diaries. And they said, we want to make a feature film about you.
9.
The most fun I've ever had with my pants on.
How'd you know about this place?
You know about this place, too.
No, I don't.
You have a memory like a chalkboard, girl.
Your dad bought us here for Indian Princess.
My dad never went to Indian Princess.
He did once, and we came here.
Hi, I'm Drew Denny, writer, director, actress of The Most Fun I've Ever Had With My Pants On. The film is actually about death and friendship. It's the story of two girls. They drive from LA to Austin, Texas. One of them, my character, is spreading her father's ashes, and I was spreading my father's ashes in the making of this film. And the other character, played by the lovely and very talented Sarah Hagen, is on her way to Texas to audition for the part of a vixen spy. So we spend some of the story performing these mini funerals in these beautiful, surreal southwestern landscapes, and the other part of the film practicing being bad.
What do you want the audience to take away from it?
There's a lot that I was trying to say in the film, and I don't know how successful I've been, but definitely, I want people to laugh and to feel that pleasure of laughing and joy and knowing that, you know, it's a really absurd and painful thing to find out, to get that call. My father called me and said, I've been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. I have 3 weeks to live. You know, that's like one of the most absurd and horrific things I've ever experienced. And there's nothing else to do about it but feel it and feel that pain and then laugh. So that's what I want. I want people to laugh and to maybe be reminded of their own experiences of grief and then continue laughing.
Eight. Going down in La La Land.
Temp work, huh? Can't believe you're not a model.
Oh, thanks.
I'm Nick. I've seen you at the gym.
Yeah, I've seen you around too. I'm Adam.
Nice meeting you. So, oh, I'm serious about what I said, though. I do sell photography, and I can tell you're a model material.
That's sweet, but I don't even have any good pictures of myself, and I need to focus on getting a job before I even think about getting any done.
Well, here's my card for whenever you're ready.
Thank you.
My name is Casper Andreas, writer, director of Going Down in La La Land, and I'm also one of the actors in the film.
I'm Matthew Ludwinski. I'm the lead actor in Casper's film Going Down in La La Land. It's the classic Hollywood tale of a struggling young actor that moves to Hollywood with big dreams and the process of his disillusionment and all the kooky characters he meets as he falls into prostitution and porn. It's a comedy.
Well, Going Down in La La Land is actually based on a novel by Andy Zephyr, and I read the novel and I thought it would make a really great film. I had lived in L.A. before, like 10 years ago. I lived here for 3 years pursuing acting, so I was a struggling actor. So I could relate to a lot of the struggling actor life of the characters in the book, and I thought it would be really fun to make a movie about Hollywood.
The funny thing is, I lived in New York when we shot the movie and had never even been to L.A., so I moved out here a little while ago, and now I'm kind of seeing a lot of things in my life mirror Adam's life. But I think everything in this movie I can relate to on some level, at least emotionally. I've felt everything he's felt.
Seven. From Hollywood to Dollywood.
Y'all, I was dreaming of things to come.
And you're right on Dolly's.
Oh, I am from East Tennessee, the hills, exactly where Dolly's from.
We got to do a 10-day road trip to try to meet Dolly on camera and give her our screenplay.
Well, I wish you the best.
And you've got a part in it, too. We're going to show you the RV. If you want to go with us, bye, Dolly. We'll see you soon.
The way I look is just a country girl's idea of play.
Gay men love flash. I don't know what that's about, but gay men like anything that sparkles and glitters. But there's a genuineness about her, and I think she's just like a big old drag queen. You know, she gets up in the morning and nails and hair and all that.
Hi, I'm Larry. And I'm Gary. You might know us as the Lane Twins.
Well, basically, you know, we had written a script. We do screenwriting, but we had written a part for Dolly Parton. So we actually initially mailed it to her people, and it came back. So we're like, well, why don't we just, you know, we know she's going to be at the grand opening of Dollywood because she's always there in April. Why don't we just get an RV, and we'll film our trip and just meet people along the way? So that kind of
started. So it was about trying to give her the script, but along the way, we really came out and were truthful with who we were and growing up in the South and being gay and always seeing her in interviews when we were younger, and they were kind of amazed by the way she embraced her gay fans. So everybody would ask her about it, from Oprah to Barbara Walters. Anything she was on, they would ask her, and she'd say, I love everybody. I don't believe anyone should be judged. Everyone should be allowed to be happy. So those things kind of resonated, and we always kind of had a love for her. So we wrote this script for her, and we wanted to give it to her, but we really tell our story about what she meant to us, and we talked to a lot of people along the way that talk about how much Dolly has impacted their life. She's really big on civil rights. She's just out there for everybody. She loves everybody, and everybody loves her. We couldn't find anybody to say something bad about her.
Six. Any day now.
Your Honor, we are requesting that Marco be released into our custody.
Your request is denied. And after lying to this court about the true nature of your relationship,
You are lucky that I don't charge you both with perjury.
Oh, respectfully, we ask you to consider
him in some
the
home when he belongs
your client
with us.
Under control.
Is this your idea of justice?
Mr. Donatello.
We're talking about a human life here!
Mr. Donatello.
A human life that you people don't give a damn about!
Mr. Donatello, if I so much as hear one more word out of your mouth this morning, I will find you in contempt of court and have you tossed back into jail. Now, I have already ruled on your request. And there is nothing that you can say or do, no matter how impassioned or dramatic, that will make me change my ruling. So unless you have some other business before the court, I suggest the two of you find another venue in which to display your histrionics.
What if we file a petition for permanent custody?
I will rule against it.
Film star Alan Cumming.
It's about a gay couple in the 70s trying to adopt a Down syndrome child that my character has taken in because he's been abandoned by his mother, and about the kind of their relationship and dealing with the authorities and trying to fight the prejudice in the legal system and in society in general. And it's got a lot of songs, and it's the whole film appealed to me really because I was so connected to the story, connected to the issues and to the, you know, just the political points in the story. And the character is so feisty and passionate. And he has a real emotional journey, and I get to sing in a way that, you know, you don't really normally get to sing in films. So I've been contributing to the actual story as well as just performing.
Five. Gaby.
I don't even have a turkey baster.
Well, then how do you want to do this?
I want to do it the old-fashioned way. Surprise!
Whoa, what? Are you just trying to get some?
Gross! What? No, come on, we did this in college.
Yeah, we did it in college, but we were really drunk when we did it.
Do you want to get really drunk?
And you stopped talking to me for like a whole month afterwards, remember? You showed up at my 20th birthday party crying and you ruined it.
For the millionth time, I am sorry, and I did not stop talking to you because we had sex.
Well, then why did you?
Who remembers? I certainly don't. Hey, do you think that you can?
Can what?
Have sex with me.
What is this? A dare? Yes, I can have sex with you.
You can do it.
Yes, I can. I'm a guy. I can put it in anything.
Okay, then I'll get an ovulation kit, which tells you when you're ready, but according to my lunar calendar, I'm about a week.
And then I'll just come over?
You agreeing to this?
Hi, I'm Jonathan Lozecki. I'm the writer-director of a film called Gaby. The film is about best friends from college who made a pact in college to have a child together if they hadn't found anyone else by the time they were in their 30s to have one with. And neither of them have. And they revisit this idea and they try to have a child together first via sex and then via some other methods. And I guess the thing that makes it slightly different than some of these tales is that the woman is straight and her best friend is a gay man. I had a best friend in college I had this kind of pact with, although she had a child with someone else. We did not do the plot of the movie. But when she did have that child with someone else, I was kind of sad that that option had gone away. So in a way, I wrote this film as kind of a fantastical version of how it would have been like. It was art therapy in a way for me to deal with the sadness of not being able to have a child with my friend who I had planned to.
I'm Steve Pride, and we're talking about the best LGBT films of 2012. We're halfway there, so don't go away. There's a lot more to come after this important message.
You're listening to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine, brought to you by you. Your charitable donations keep this program on the air. We've produced some special CDs to say thank you to our supporters, featuring queer history, reviews of LGBT music, and behind-the-scenes looks at relevant movies and TV shows. You can also now get CDs of our regular program by subscription, and be sure you never miss a week of This Way Out. For all the details, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA.
Welcome back. I'm Steve Pride, and we're talking about the best LGBT films of 2012. Next up, 4. How to Survive a Plague.
Plague! We are in the middle of a plague! 40 million infected people is a plague!
AIDS is now the leading cause of death.
Demonstrators blocked access to buildings.
Coalition of gay groups came to shut down the FDA.
This government has the resources to deal with the AIDS epidemic, and they won't do it unless we force them.
We want everybody to join us. We are trying to arouse to anger and action.
Until we get our acts together, we are as good as dead.
Documentarian David France.
It's the story of this small group of activists who responded 6 years into the epidemic and started saying, you've got to do something. And then ultimately began to develop an idea of what should be done. They started just yelling at people. And you see that at the beginning of the film. And then they realized, as one person says, you cannot shout a cure. You've got to engage in the science itself. So we watched them do that. And using this archival footage allowed me to tell the story in a way that was like living it again. I ultimately brought in footage from 33 different sources, only a small number of whom were actually working together, chronicling this incredible historical moment, knowing how historically important it was, and knowing that what they were witnessing was just revolutionary. Using this archival footage allowed me to tell the story in a way that was like living it again.
Three. Lawrence Anyways, for which I'm skipping the clip only because it's in French and radio subtitles are so hard to read.
I'm Xavier Dolan. I'm 23 years old. I am a Quebecois-Canadian filmmaker and actor and producer, and I've directed a movie called Lawrence Anyways. Lawrence Anyways is a love story that takes place in the 90s. 80s and 90s, and that follows the journey of Lawrence, who wants to change sex and become a woman and comes out as a woman to his girlfriend, Fred, and asks her to support him through the transition, which they try to do, spanning over 10 years of endeavors and disappointments and breakups and reunion and runaway and the inspiration. Well, someone in a van driving me back from the first 2 days of shooting when I killed my mother, some of the crew mentioned her nightmare date with her boyfriend at that time, who came out as a woman in the restaurant and said, listen, I'm a woman, and I'd like you to stay with me and help me transition. And from that moment, I just started imagining the whole love story.
Two. Vito.
Everything I've done, I've chosen to do. This is the life I wanted. I'm one of the very few people I know who can say, I never did anything I didn't want to do, and I always did exactly what I pleased. Very few people can say that about their lives. So I'm a tremendous success in those terms. I mean, I'm very happy with the way I've chosen to live. I've made the life I wanted, and I've always had everything I wanted out of it.
My name is Jeffrey Schwarz, and I'm the producer and director of Vito, the new documentary about the life of gay activist and film historian Vito Russo. When I was first coming out in the early 90s, one of the first things that I did was read The Celluloid Closet. And at that time, and still is the Bible of gay and lesbian representation on film and the history of that. So when I read that book, it was incredibly empowering, educational, inspiring. It turned me on to all kinds of movies that I never knew existed. And it helped me to see movies I thought I knew in a new way, to read between the lines and to spot gay images from the early silent films all the way through the 70s and 80s when Vito wrote the book. So when I found out that Rob Epstein and Jeffrey Friedman were making a documentary based on the book, I jumped at the chance to work on it and ended up moving to San Francisco. And my first job in the movie business was working on The Celluloid Closet as an apprentice editor. And Vito had passed away a couple years before I arrived on the scene, but it was a goal of his that a documentary be made out of his book, and Rob and Jeffrey took on that challenge. So when I was there working on it, that's when I really got to know Vito. Even though he was gone, I had access to a lot of his research materials and interviews that he did in preparation for The Celluloid Closet and for his journalism. But most importantly, I had access to interviews that Rob and Jeffrey did with Vito, hours and hours of material where Vito told his own story from what it was like growing up gay before before Stonewall, his experience of literally witnessing the Stonewall riots and the aftermath of that, getting involved in gay liberation, the writing of The Celluloid Closet, his interest in gay and lesbian representation in the movies, and then all the way through the AIDS epidemic, the creation of GLAAD, Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, and ACT UP.
And the best gay film of the year, Keep the Lights On.
So what you like?
He's like, he's just like nice.
Nice.
Yes, very nice.
Where's he from?
He's from the suburbs of Boston. He's a lawyer at Random House. You know, he'd be the first American boyfriend I'd ever have.
I haven't seen you this excited about anyone in a long time. Since Paolo.
I was not that excited about Paolo, Claire. I don't know why you keep saying that all the
time.
You
guys were a good couple.
No, we were not a good couple. Never interested in anything I had to say.
No. So now you found a pupil?
That's not what I'm saying. Paul, he is curious. He's excited. He's a nice guy. And he seems to really like me.
My name is Ira Sachs. I'm the co-writer and the director of Keep the Lights On. The film is the story of a relationship between two men in New York City from the first day of the relationship until the last. I ended a relationship in 2008, and really on the last day of that relationship, I was aware that 10 years before there had been a first day, and that somewhere in between was a very good story, a story that was both about a couple and the challenges they faced, and also in a way was a template for anyone looking at a relationship and how it changes over a long period of time, and that there aren't that many films about contemporary gay relationships specifically.
What do you want the audience to take away from it?
I want them to have felt something. I want them to have gone through a story that they feel involved with and to have some sort of emotional relationship to the film. But I also want them to think about what they sacrifice by keeping things from the people they're close to and how dangerous it is. I mean, I really think that on some level, you know, there's the line, we're only as sick as our secrets. And I think it's appropriate in the sense that it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of psychic effort to keep things hidden. It's not like a passive thing. You have to hide to hide. And I think this film, in some ways, is a call to arms to people to keep the lights on and to actually look at things.
Again, my pick for the breakout series on the small screen was on the small, small screen, and it was called The Outs. My top 10 examples of pride on the big screen were
10.
Wish Me Away.
9.
The Most Fun I've Ever Had With My Pants On.
8.
Going Down in La La Land.
7.
From Hollywood to Dollywood.
6.
Any Day Now.
5.
Gaby.
4.
How to Survive a Plague.
3.
Lawrence Anyways.
2.
Vito.
1.
For me, the best film of the year, Keep the Lights On. In putting this together, my gratitude goes to Shelley Wright, Drew Denny, Casper Andreas, Matthew Ludwinski, Gary and Larry Lane, Alan Cumming, Jonathan Lasecki, David France, Xavier Dolan, Jeffrey Schwartz, and my new bestie, Adam Goldman. For This Way Out, this is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Steve Pride brought us Pride on Screen 2012, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible in part through the generosity of our listeners. Thank you. It's never too late to log on to thiswayout.org to add your support, listen to our podcasts, see some of the faces behind the voices, subscribe to postal mail CDs of our programs, and check out our blog, like our Facebook fan page, and follow us on Twitter. To request a CD copy of this program, email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Licia Chappelle and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org, across Europe, Asia Pacific, and Africa Middle East locales, on the World Radio Networks, and on more than 200 local stations around the world, including this community radio station. Please stay tuned during your Happy New Year.
That would be KBOO. Portland, 90.7 FM in Portland, 91.9 FM in Hood River in the Gorge, and 100.7 FM in Corvallis and Albany. And coming up in this hour, the 7 o'clock hour, on KBOO Portland is Hard Knock Radio with your hosts Anita Johnson and Davey D. But first, this brief non-commercial message.
Tune into KBOO Wednesday, January 2nd at 6 p.m. for Treasures from the KBOO Archive, a monthly program celebrating 45 years of community engagement and activism, culture, and arts. Our first program features Vandana Shiva, recorded in 2002.
Chemical warfare is literally part of our everyday agriculture. It's not what happens with Saddam Hussein only. It's happening in all the fields. It's happening across the world. In fact, the chemicals were meant for war. The ones that are put into agriculture was a peaceful use of instruments of war.
That's Wednesday, January 2nd at 6 p.m. on KBOO Portland.
This is Pam Africa on Hard Knock Radio to stay.